the mage. remains faithful. He is the faithful one. The word of God declares, have I said it, and will I not do it? Have I spoken, and will I not make it good? I want to tell you that the Lord is faithful to perform everything He's promised you, everything He's spoken to you. He will fulfill it. Can you say amen? I want us to just sing that song a little bit more. Just to... How many of you love Jesus this morning? Give a shout if you love the Lord this morning.
Faithful one, Jesus. Anyone here for the first time? God bless you. Thank you. gift bags a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We hope it'll be a blessing to you. And then there's also a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop that in, and it gives us an opportunity to call you. And thank you for coming. So thanks so much. Pastor Steve.
Praise God. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you doing well?
Yes.
It's good to see you today. Is it good to see me too?
Yes.
Thanks. Praise God, man. I just felt such a presence of the Lord today. It just came over me. I start tears come to my eyes, and I just feel that. The Lord is here today. And I want to speak this morning about unconditional trust. Unconditional trust. I want you to, if you have your Bible, to open to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read Proverbs 3 verse 5. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The Message Bible says it like this: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success.
Amen.
Now, Psalm 62 verse 8, you know, when you read through the Psalms, most of the Psalms were written by David, not all of the Psalms. Some of the Psalms are written by Moses, and some of them are written by other people. Some of them, the author is not identified, but most of them are written by David. And what is amazing to me, I went through the Psalms. I did a word search on the word trust. And it's amazing how many times this theme comes out over and over and over again. Like in Psalm 62, where David said, trust Him at all times. Trust Him at all times. You know, it's easy to trust God when things are going our way. When you're getting good breaks, and when your business is blessed and your children are healthy, and that doesn't take much faith. You know, life is good. It's easy to trust God. But how about when things are not going our way? How about when it looks like our prayers are not being answered? How about when the problem is not turning around? We're not seeing favor. Too often we get discouraged and we think, Lord, why aren't you doing something? You can see I'm being mistreated. You can see my health isn't good. I worked hard. I didn't get that promotion. We think when it changes, then we'll be happy. When I meet the right person, when my health improves, when I have this baby, then I'm going to have a good attitude. That is conditional trust. God, if you meet all my demands, if you answer my prayers the way that I want, on my timetable, then I'll trust you. Then I'll be my best. See, the problem with having conditional trust is there will always be something. There'll always be things we don't understand. There will always be something not happening fast enough. It didn't work out the way we wanted it. You see, are you mature enough to accept God's answers, even though they're not what you were hoping for? How many of you know that our God is a sovereign God? And we're not going to understand everything that happens. Faith is trusting God when life doesn't make sense. There will always be unanswered questions. Why didn't my loved one make it? Why am I not getting better? Why did this person leave me? Listen, some things are not going to make sense. But God wouldn't have allowed it if He wasn't going to bring good out of it. You see, you may not see it at the time, but let me tell you, God knows what He's doing. God has your best interest at heart.
Yes.
It's not random. It's all part of His plan. You've got to dare to trust Him unconditionally. You see, God's plan for your life is bigger than your plan for your life. But it might not happen the way you thought it was going to happen. God doesn't take us in a straight line. There'll be twists and turns and disappointments and the loss and the bad breaks. It's all part of God's plan. But you see, if you just have conditional trust, you'll get discouraged. You'll think, well, why is this happening? I'm going in the wrong direction. But God is still directing your steps. You've got to trust Him when you don't understand. Trust Him when it feels like you're going in the wrong direction. See, sometimes we want it so bad that we're not going to be happy unless it happens our way. Well, I can't be happy unless I get that house, or unless I meet the right person, or unless until we have the baby. Listen, that's out of balance, because anything that you have to have in order to be happy, the enemy can use it against you. You see, it's good to be honest with God. It's good to tell God your dreams. It's good to tell God what you're believing for. Lord, this is what I want. This is what I desire. I'm asking you to do this for me. Turn this problem around. Open these doors for me. It's fine to ask, but then you've got to be mature enough to be able to say, Lord, if it never happens, if I don't get the promotion, if my loved one doesn't make it, I'm still going to trust you no matter what. See, that's unconditional trust. See, we can get so consumed with what we want that it almost can become like an idol. You know what an idol is? An idol is anything that's more important to you than the Lord. I said an idol is anything that is more important than God. And when that's all that you think about, it's all that you pray about, it's always on the forefront of your minds, listen, you've got to turn that over to God. Yes, pray. Yes, believe. But then leave it in His hands. Don't get so focused on what you want that you miss out on enjoying life. You miss out on the beauty of this day. Everything may not be perfect. There are things that need to change. But God has given you the grace to be happy right now where you are. Let me tell you, it's so freeing when you can say, Lord, it's in your hands. I trust you. Not conditionally. Not if it works out my way. I trust you. Unconditionally, Lord, even if I don't understand it, I trust you directing my steps. You know, the Apostle Paul had what he described as a thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul said, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, this was something either, some people believe, physical ailment, or whether it was a spiritual problem, but it was something he didn't like. It was something that was bothering him. And three times he asked God, please take this away. But God didn't remove it. And yet Paul was honoring God. He wrote over half of the New Testament. Paul was greatly used by God. You would think that God would fix whatever was bothering the Apostle Paul. But you know what the Lord said to him? In verse 9, He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The New Living Translation says it like this. My grace is all you need. Tell your neighbor, all you need is His grace. Because my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. See, God was saying to Paul, I may not remove it just yet, but I'll give you the grace to handle it. You see, listen, if God is not removing what you want removed, if He's not changing what you want changed, don't use that as an excuse to live upset, bitter. God has given you the grace to be where you are right now with a good attitude, with a smile on your face, with joy in your heart. You can enjoy your life in spite of what is not working out right now. I'm talking about unconditional trust, family. See, sometimes the reason that our prayers are not answered the way that we want is because it's not the right time, or God has something better that we can't see right now. You know, maybe God is using that difficulty to do a work in you, to help you grow stronger. You see, unconditional trust says, Lord, I don't like this. I'm uncomfortable, but I'm smart enough to realize that you're God and I'm not God. You're on the throne. You're in control of my life. You said your plans for me are for good and not evil. You said you'd lead me down the best pathway for my life. Even though I don't understand this right now, I trust you, Lord. See, if you can come to a place in your life where you trust God no matter what, the enemy can't touch you, man. It doesn't matter what he do. You just keep on trusting God and believing God. You see, are you living frustrated and unhappy because something's not going your way? That's conditional trust. Amen. You'd live a whole lot happier and freer if you quit fighting what God is not changing. Quit being upset over what God is not removing. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Philippians 3 verse 11. He said, I have learned. This is something you have to learn. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know, most of the time we take that scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we apply it only to the positive. Wow, praise God, I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this job. I can do this through Christ. And that's true. But Paul is saying, no matter what I face, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to have much. I've lived where there's nothing. And he said, I've learned, whatever state I'm in, to be content.
Amen.
Now, this didn't happen automatically. He had to make this decision. I'm not going to live unhappy because God hasn't removed this thorn. When he wants to remove it, he'll remove it. But until then, I'm going to be content where I am, thorn and all. You see, listen, the truth is, we all have some thorns. I said we all have some thorns. We all have some things in our life that God's not changing. He could if he wanted to. I mean, he's God. All he has to do is speak and that problem would turn around. That person would treat you right. Wouldn't be any big deal for God. But since he's not doing it yet, will you do like Paul and be happy where you are right now? Thorn and all, trouble and all, loneliness and all. It takes a mature person to say, even though God isn't removing this, I'm still going to have a smile. I'm still going to be good to people. I'm still going to give God praise. I'm still going to trust him. Verily, that is faith in God. So, Job said this in Job 13, 15. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, listen, you've got to understand this. That Job didn't have the Bible. Job didn't have the Bible to open to John 10, verse 10, where it says, I have come, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Job never had that Bible. Hadn't been written yet. Job's the oldest book in the Bible. And so he's still learning. He mistaken. Job thought that God was causing his problems. We know it wasn't God, it was Satan. But the point is, now Job came to discover that it wasn't the Lord. But what my point is Job said, I will trust God no matter what. Even if I die, I'll keep on trusting God. When the three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden idol. He made an idol of gold and everybody had to bow down and worship this idol. And they refused to bow down. And they were teenagers. And King Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He was going to have them thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And you know what they said to him? In Daniel 3 verse 16, they said, oh Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. And he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods. We will never worship the gold statue that you've set up. He See, that's unconditional trust. I believe God's going to turn this problem around, but even if it doesn't, I'm still going to be happy. I'm still going to trust Him. I believe I'm going to get the promotion. I believe my health is improving. I believe the right person is coming. But even if it doesn't happen, I'm still going to trust God. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get upset. I know God is on the throne, and if He's not changing it, He has a reason. My life is in His hands. See, dare to trust Him. Not just when things are going your way. It's easy to trust God when things are going your way. But trust Him even when you don't understand it. I love Psalm 138, verse 8. This is a scripture you need to write down. You need to memorize. You need to know this. You need to declare it. David said, "The Lord will work out His plans for my life." The Lord will work out His plans for my life. Say it. Say, "The Lord will work out." Say it again. The Lord will work out His plan for my life. Tell your neighbor, the Lord's working out His plan for my life. You see, notice it says the Lord will work out His plan for your life. That means you don't have to work it all out. You don't have to make it happen in your own strength. You don't have to try and manipulate people and fight all your own battles. Why don't you take the pressure off yourself and let God work out His plan for your life? He can do it better than you can. He knows the best path. That's what these teenagers were saying. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were saying, "We know God will deliver us from this fire. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to get upset. We're not going to start panicking. We know we're not doing life on our own. The Most High God, the Creator of the universe, is working out His plan for our life." Well, let me tell you, all the forces of darkness cannot stop what God has ordained. That sickness can't stop Him. That trouble at work can't stop Him. The disappointments can't stop Him. The setbacks can't stop Him. The delays can't stop Him. The critics can't stop Him. The naysayers can't stop Him. The enemy can't stop Him. You might have a lot coming against you. It feels like, you know, you're about to be thrown into a fire. The good news is you're not going in alone. You couldn't be in that fire unless God allowed it. The enemy's not in control of your life. God is in control of your life. He's working out His plan. And sometimes His plan includes fiery furnaces. I'm sorry to tell you, but sometimes the plan of God includes fiery furnaces, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sometimes it includes giants, just as David. Sometimes it includes Red Seas, just as Moses. Sometimes it includes pharaohs, people that don't like you, obstacles that look insurmountable. You don't see a way out. But since you know the Lord is directing my steps, you don't try to figure it all out. It may look like the end, but like those teenagers, you have unconditional trust. You trust without condition. I know God will deliver me, but even if He doesn't, I'm still going to have a song of praise. I'm still going to have an attitude of faith. I'm still going to live my life happy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is good preaching. I'm preaching better than your amen is today. The king had those teenagers thrown into the fiery furnace. The fire was so hot that when the guards opened the door, they were killed instantly. Briquettes. In a few minutes, the king came to check on them. He looked through the window. Couldn't believe his eyes. The king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, the Bible says. He rose in haste and he spoke and he said to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" "Look," he said, "I see four men loose. They're walking in the midst of the fire and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God." What was that? That was God working out His plan for their life. I wonder what the outcome would have been if they would have just had conditional trust. If they would have said, "God, if you deliver us from this fire, then we'll trust you. God, if you do it our way, then we'll have a good attitude." No, when the king didn't change his mind, Listen, when God didn't remove the obstacle, if they would have gotten negative and complained, oh, we prayed, we stood in faith, and why didn't you turn it around, Lord? Maybe the furnace would have been the end. Maybe we wouldn't be talking about them today. If you want to get God's attention, if you want to get God's attention, if you want God to take you where you never dreamed, if you want God to turn impossible situations around in your life, do like these teenagers. I know God will deliver me from this fire. Have a statement of faith, but then follow it up with, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to trust him. You see, when you live like that, you take away all the enemy's power. Because he's expecting you to get upset, to be worried. The enemy's expecting you to fall apart. He's expecting you to live in self-pity. But when you have unconditional trust, you cannot be defeated. I said, when you have unconditional trust, you cannot be defeated. And you may have challenges that look bigger and look stronger. And in the natural, maybe you don't have a chance. You don't see any way out. But don't be intimidated, because the forces that are for you are much greater than the forces that are against you. And Job said in Job 5:26, he said, you shall live a long life, a good life, like standing grain. You will not be harvested until it's time. You will not be harvested until it's time. You will not be harvested before your time. You may be thrown into the fire, but if it's not your time to go, I want to tell you right now, you're not going to go. God has the final say, and right now, he is working out his plan for your life. There might be some fiery furnaces. Are you only going to trust him if he delivers you from the fire? If he takes away all the thorns? If he does it your way? Or are you going to have unconditional trust where you trust him like those teenagers, even if he takes you through the fire? The Bible says in Psalm 66 verse 12, we went through the fire. We went through the fire. We went through the flood. But you brought us out to a place of great abundance. You might go through the fire and you might go through the flood, but I'm telling you now, God wants to bring you out to a place of great abundance. Amen. When I look back over my life, things haven't turned out the way I thought. Anyone else like that? Or was it just me? I had a plan. I had it all figured out. I told God just exactly how to do it, when to do it, what I needed, who to use, how to get me there. I gave him good information. The funny thing is, God didn't take my advice. God had his own plan. But I found out God's plan was better than my plan. His ways have always been more rewarding and more fulfilling and bigger than my ways. If God would have done everything that I asked, if he'd answered the prayers the way I wanted, it would have limited my destiny. I wouldn't be here today. I'd still be in South Africa. I wouldn't be where I am. I couldn't see it at the time. It didn't make sense. But one day I learned what Isaiah said. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's plans are better than our plans. You've got to stop being discouraged over something that didn't work out the way you wanted. Don't live frustrated because maybe someone left you that you wanted to stay. I have learned a long time ago, I had many people left me. Many people left me. I learned a long time ago, man, if they left me, they were not part of my destiny. A door closed, you wanted it open. Let me tell you, God knows what he's doing. You may not see it now, but one day when you look back, you'll see what God was up to. You'll be glad he closed the door. You'll thank him for not answering that prayer. The longer I live, the more I pray. Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. The older I get, the more I pray. Lord, not my will, let your will be done. I don't fight closed doors anymore. I don't get frustrated when things are not changing as fast as I would like them to. I trust God.
Yes.
He's in control.
Yes.
As long as I'm honoring him. As long as I'm being my best, as long as I'm obeying and doing what he tells me to do, at the right time, I know God's going to get me where I'm supposed to be. It may not be where you thought. Let me tell you, God's going to take you further than you imagine. In Psalm 9 verse 10 it says, everyone who honors your name can trust you. Everyone who honors your name can trust you because you are faithful to all those who depend on you. Let me tell you, if you will trust God and if you will honor Him and if you will trust Him, the Bible says He is faithful. I believe in praying for our dreams. I believe in praying bold prayers. I believe in believing for big things. But I've learned, you've got to let God do it His way.
Yeah.
You've got to hold tightly to what God has put in your heart, but hold loosely to how it's going to happen.
Hallelujah. Good word. Good word.
Don't get so set in your ways. You know, don't get discouraged because it hasn't happened the way you thought. Trust God that He's working out His plan for your life. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You are working out your plan for my life. Say this. Say,
I trust you
with all of my heart, and I thank you that you are directing my footsteps. A friend of mine told me this story a couple of years after they were married. They sold their townhouse and they were going to buy their first home. And so they looked for months and months and they found this house. They really loved it. It was on a big, beautiful lot, had big trees, picturesque views. It was like their dream house. And so they made an offer. It was not much less than the asking price. But they didn't hear back for a couple of weeks. And the house was empty, so they would drive past it at night, and they would pray over the house, and they'd thank God, that's our house. They'd dream about living there. They were so sure it was going to happen. But then the realtor called back and said that the seller was not going to accept their offer. And they thought, man, this is the devil. He's trying to take our house. Because that's supposed to be our house. Have you noticed sometimes the devil gets blamed for a lot of things that he had nothing to do with? I mean, I'm not trying to get any sympathy for the devil here, but some of the things we blame him for is he got nothing to do with. So they went back to that house. They marched around it. They were praying. They were binding. They were loosing. They were doing everything they could. A few days later, the owner sold the house to someone else. Have you ever felt like God let you down? Have you ever felt like God could have changed that so easily?
Yeah.
My friend said, Lord, where were you? This was our dream house. They felt so discouraged. But here's the secret. If you're only going to be happy if God does it your way, that's not trusting. That's giving God orders. Why don't you put your life in His hands? He knows what is best for you.
Amen.
He can see things that we cannot see. A couple of months later, they found another house. And they purchased it. 2 years later, they sold half of that property for more money than they paid for the entire property. So they were mortgage free. They ended up building a new house. God blessed them in ways greater than what they could ever have imagined. They ended up much better off than they would have been if they took that townhouse. So they said sometimes they'll drive past that other house that they wanted so bad and they'll say, Lord, thank you for closing that door. Thank you that it didn't work out. Let me tell you, some of the things that are not working out in your life right now, one day you will do the same. You will say, Lord, thank you that it didn't work out my way. Thank you that I didn't get that house because you had something better for me. Thank you that I didn't get that job. I didn't see it then, but now I see it. You had a better job for me. Folks, well, that's unconditional trust. You could save yourself so much frustration if you would just learn to have unconditional trust. The closed doors, the disappointments, the delays, it's all working for you.
Yeah.
It's good to be determined. I mean, my wife will tell you, I'm very determined. I'm a very determined person. And if you tell me I can't do it, then I'm even more determined. I'm very persistent. It's good to be persistent. It's good to be determined. But you've got to let God do it His way.
Yeah.
See, if He's not changing it, if He's not removing it, if He's not opening it, don't fight it. Learn to embrace where you are. He's given you the grace, not just to be where you are, but to be there with a good attitude. If you're going to pass the test, you've got to keep a smile on your face. You've got to keep a song in your heart. You've got to keep passion in your spirit. Don't drag through the day, all disappointed. You know, no, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. He's still on the throne. He's working out his plans for my life. He's directing my footsteps.
Yes.
But living worried and depressed and disappointed, that, you know what? That takes away your passion. It steals your joy. And it can keep you from seeing God's favor in your life. Sometimes the closed doors and the disappointments are simply a test. See, God wants to see if we'll trust Him when we don't understand Him. If we'll trust Him when life doesn't make sense. Amen?
Good word, Pastor.
That's what happened with Abraham. Abraham waited 20 years to have his son Isaac. He and his wife Sarah, they were way up there in age. I mean, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. They prayed, they believed, they stood in faith. Finally, they saw the promise come to pass. They were so excited. I mean, you can imagine how excited they were. And you can imagine how Abraham felt years later when God told him to take Isaac, go up on the top of a mountain, and sacrifice your son, Isaac. That didn't make sense. Isaac was what Abraham loved the most. He was the fulfillment of God's promise. Now God is asking him to put his dream on the altar. Abraham didn't understand it. It didn't seem fair. But Abraham was obedient. Abraham passed the trust test. Just as Abraham was about to plunge the knife down into Isaac's chest, Isaac's about 20 years old, God stopped him. Angel spoke from heaven and said, "Don't kill your son. Don't hurt him in any way. Now I can see that you trust God, and you have not kept your son, your only son, from me. Now I know you trust me. Now I know you fear me. Now I know that you have faith." See, like Abraham, there will be times when God asks us to put our dream on the altar. We have to show him, family, that we don't have to have the house to be happy. That if we don't have the baby, we're not going to live bitter. When you can say, no matter what, if things don't go the way I want, God, I'm still going to honor you. God, I'm still going to trust you. God, I'm still going to do my best. God, I'm still going to live happy. You are doing what Abraham did.
Yes.
You're putting your dream on the altar. And when God sees that you don't have to have it, many times God will give it back to you. He'll give back what you were willing to give up. Amen? During World War II, there was a young soldier in a library in Florida. He was reading a book, and he noticed there were handwritten notes in the margin of the book. And they were very thoughtful and they were very heartwarming. So he turned to the front of the book, and just so happened that the previous owner's name and address was still in the front of the book. Anyone remember the days going to the library reading a book? Some of us too young for that. Well, the lady who owned the book before, her name was Holly, and she lived in New York City. And so this young soldier wrote a letter to Holly, introducing himself, telling her how he was about to be shipped off overseas to Europe the next day. And he invited her to respond to him, and they could talk about the book. Much to his surprise, he received a letter from her in return. And for the next 13 months, they wrote back and forth, getting closer and closer. They were actually falling in love, but they'd never seen each other. And he requested a picture. We live in a different world today. Lordy, lordy.
Yeah.
Huh? Go on Facebook, get 5,000 pictures. No surprise. So he asked her for a picture, but she refused. So 18 months later, he's coming back home through New York City, and they were going to meet for the first time. They were going to go and have dinner. And she said, "I'll be waiting for you when you get off the ship. You'll know it's me. I'll be wearing a pink rose." So sailing back across the ocean, he was so excited. But he was nervous as well. He stepped off that ship. The big moment finally arrived. This beautiful young lady came walking towards him. I mean, she took his breath away. She was stunning. Tall, gorgeous. Looked like a movie star. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. He was so taken back. He didn't realize she wasn't wearing a pink rose. And as she passed by, he finally came back down to earth. About that time, an old lady, probably in her 50s. That's not old. This lady in her 50s, not necessarily attractive, she came up to him and it just so happened she had on a pink rose. He was disappointed, but he didn't show it. He walked up to her with a smile and he saluted her. He said, "Hello, ma'am, you must be Holly. So glad I met you. Can I take you to dinner?" The lady said, "Son, I'm not sure what's going on, but that young lady who just walked past you, she asked me to wear this pink rose. She told me that if you invite me to dinner, to tell you she's waiting for you at the restaurant across the street." What was it? What was that? That was a test.
That was a test.
That was a test.
Failed.
No, he passed. He passed. Here's the question. Will you do the right thing when it's hard? Will you trust God when it's not what you thought? When you don't understand it? When it's not what you expected? See, God said to Abraham in Genesis 22, he said, this is what the Lord says, "Because you obeyed me, because you've not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you and I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars of the sky and like the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies." Because you trusted me, because you obeyed me, I'm not just going to give you back your son, but I'm going to multiply your descendants like the sand of the sea. "And through your descendants, all the nations of all the earth will be blessed, all because you trusted me." See, will you do like Abraham? Will you do like that young soldier? Will you pass the trust test? Because let me tell you, God will not just give you the desires of your heart. God will do more than what you can ask or think. Amen?
Amen.
He'll do beyond. Are you living frustrated because your prayers are not being answered the way you want it to be? Your prayers are not working out the way you want them to? Take the pressure off. God is in control. He knows what is best for you. You're not always going to understand it. But listen, it wouldn't take any faith if you understood everything. I'm asking you to trust God unconditionally, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you don't understand it. Lord, I trust you are working out your plan for my life. You're directing my footsteps. You're leading me down the best path for my life, Lord. And whether I face a fiery furnace, whether I face a giant, whether I face a Red Sea, whether I face Pharaoh, it doesn't matter. I trust you, Lord, that you are guiding me and you are with me and you are working out your plans for my life. You say amen to that. If you will do this, I believe, family, God is going to work out his plan for your life. I believe God is going to open the right doors for you. God is going to bring the right people in. God is going to turn that negative situation around. God is going to take you into the fullness of your destiny. God is going to do beyond and above what you could have imagined, what you could have thought. His plan for your life is better than your plan for your life. Family, if you will just trust him unconditionally, you'll see God do great and mighty things. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you a little bit later. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Joe. I'm going to tell you a little bit later how, just briefly, how this is related to my life of trusting God unconditionally with what's happening. I'll tell you in a moment. But I want to ask you for a moment just to bow your heads, and I want to pray for you. Just close your eyes. Lord, I pray for every person is here today, even those who are watching this online. I pray, Lord, for every person, wherever they may be, whatever they may be facing, whatever they may be dealing with, I thank you, Lord, that as they trust you, that you are guiding them down the best pathway for their life. You are directing their footsteps. I thank you, Lord, you're working out your plan for their life. Lord, we trust you. Say, Lord, I trust you. Say, no matter what, Lord, I trust you. Say, even if things don't go the way I want it, I trust you. Say, even if that door doesn't open, I trust you. Say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. Because let me tell you, family, that's really what God is looking for. Do you know that that is what God is looking for more than anything else, is that you would simply trust Him. That you would simply trust Him. While you have your eyes closed and while you have your head bowed, I want to pray one last prayer. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure where I stand with God this morning. I'm really not sure if all is well, if all is right between me and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt? You are sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I would go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you certain? Are you absolutely sure of where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure about that. There is a heaven to gain. Heaven is a real place. You can walk out of here this morning. You can know that all is right with you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed is forgiven. It's washed away. You can know that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our eyes closed, while we have our heads bowed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that the Lord, all is well with me and God. I want to know the Lord is with me. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly right now to just lift your hand up high. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor Steve. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer. Thank you, God bless you. I see your hand. Just put it up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I want to ask everyone who lifted your hand up, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm asking you, please say this prayer with me. Say this prayer from your heart. Everybody, let's all say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin, to die in my place, to take my judgment. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess that Jesus is my Lord, you said that I would be saved. And so I do this today. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on that cross for me, that you took my sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. Say, I ask you, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me. Change me. I confess, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. That means from today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your Bible says, because you are Lord of my life. And I thank you that you are guiding me. You are directing me. Lord, not my will. Let your will be done. I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? Can you give God thanks? Can you give God praise today? Hallelujah. I pray to God. I spoke with someone before the service today. I don't want to point him out to you, but before the service, and He just moved here from another state, and he Googled, and he found our church, and he came in today for the first time, not because any of you invited him, because he came by himself. And today he put up his hand, and he prayed that prayer to accept the Lord. And so I'm so thrilled about that. But I want to say, listen, family, let's not just let the one or the two that found our church by looking on the internet. Let's go out and let's seek after the lost and let's him. Jesus said, go out in the highways and the byways that my house may be filled. Let's fill the house of God by going out into the harvest, the highways and the byways, and let's bring people in, compelling them, inviting them. I thank God for one person that gets saved, but how many of you know I want to see 100 people get saved on Sunday? Not just one, but 100. How many more? How many of you would like to see 100 people getting saved today? I mean, I will do this all for the one. Amen. Jesus would come to the earth just for the one. But family, how many of you know there's a lot of other people that need the Lord? Yeah. There's a lot of other people that need Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Give what you got. Amen. What have I got? When Peter and John, in Acts chapter 3, they were going to the temple to pray, and they saw a man who was paralyzed sitting at the gate of the temple begging for asking for money. And Peter said to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, what I've got, I'm going to give you what I've got. In the name of Jesus, he said, rise up and walk and be healed. You see, you've got to give what you've got. You've got the greater one. You've got Jesus. You've got the Lord. You've got the creator of heaven and earth. You've got the Savior on the inside of you. You've got the name of Jesus. You've got the power of God. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got to give what you've got. Don't hold on to what you've got. Give what you've got. Tell someone about the Lord. Be a blessing. Reach out. Let God use you. Give what you've got. Tell your neighbor, give what you've got. Give what you've got. Give what you've got within you. Amen. My challenge to you this week. My challenge to you. Every one of you. Say, this is for me. Say, Pastor. Let me hear you say it. Pastor is talking to me. Invite someone to church with you next week. We are not going to heaven on our own. We are reaching out and we are taking as many people with us as we can. Amen? Amen. Did you get something out of this today? Amen. Jesus, say, I have unconditional trust in God. Say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. Say, Lord, I trust that you are working out your plan for my life. Say, Lord, I trust that you are guiding me down the best path for my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Good word. Amen. Good word. Good word. Trust the Lord. Unconditionally. Well, family, now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And, you know, God has set up this principle, just what Pastor Steve was talking about, that will enable us to face whatever problem comes our way. Whether we're up financially or whether we're down financially, we can do it without fear or without worry. And I want to read you a scripture from Jeremiah 17. The Bible gives us just four verses. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed, say cursed, is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. So here we're going to see that's the bleak side. We've given you the cursed side, the person who trusts in man. And God gives us a strong comparison between people who trust in him and people who trust in the arm of the flesh or in themselves, right?
And verse 7 says, but blessed is the man. Say blessed.
Yes.
I like blessed better than cursed, don't you? It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. He does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries. Say no worries.
No worries.
In a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. So here we see in verse 5 and 6, God's comparing the person who trusts in man, who leans on the arm of the flesh, to somebody who's like a bush or a shrub in a desert. Like nothing. Product of barren land, right? So that's not a good picture. But in that barren environment, the bush is going to dry up. It's unproductive. It's like somebody, it's like when we trust in our own efforts, our own strengths, instead of God, we're like that barren bush. God's giving us a picture. When others have harvest, we don't have harvest. But then he says, the one who trusts in him will be immovable. He won't fear in a time of need. I like that. Because there are times, we have good times and we have bad times. We have fat times and lean times. And when we trust in God, we don't fear when there's lean times. Amen? Move on from me, thanks. Verse 7 and 8, it says, those who trust in the Lord will be like, compared to a tree that's planted by a river of water. It's putting down its roots next to a stream. You know that tree's going to be green, right? You know that tree's going to be lush because the roots go down and the roots reach the provision. So that's what happens when we trust God. We, through those roots, we draw out whatever sustenance we need, the abundance we need from God. And you might say, well, how do we apply that when it comes to the area of finances? Well, if we trust God, we are able to give. We are able to tithe. Amen? If you know that God is going to work things out for you, you're able to give freely. If you're fearful, you're going to hang on to everything you've got. Amen? And not be able to obey God. I'm going to read one more scripture because this reminds me. It's that same comparison in Proverbs 11. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but that comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will prosper themselves. So there's your comparison again. The one who can trust God, the one who can give freely, the one who can be generous because he trusts God, he will see abundance in his life. Amen? He will, because he refreshes others, he will be refreshed. Because he waters, he will be watered. Because he gives, it will be given back to him. Amen? And so I encourage you to trust God in the area of your finances. When it's good and when it's bad. God is faithful. Let us just, in the dry seasons and in the good seasons, let's trust God. Let's stay faithful to tithe. Stay faithful to give. And we'll see his abundance. Amen? Got our roots planted down in that stream. Praise God. You look like you're going to say something.
Yep.